Now, my fellow graduates, I hope you understand what an accomplishment you've just pulled off yourselves. And I hope you take pride in it and know that you have done something special and something really important. Now, I will admit, when I was sitting where you are now, today, on my first graduation, I knew I was supposed to feel liberated and excited about the future, but I was mostly just scared. What if, after agonizing about what I wanted to do when I grow up, I really didn't like it? What if I wasn't ready to grow up? What if I couldn't cut it out there in the big world? Those were some of the questions running through my mind on that day, those many years ago. The power of questioning, something I discovered big time here at TCU, and what I'd like to emphasize this afternoon, had taken hold a little better that day than I'd really wanted. Now, the same kind of ruminations may be running through some of your heads. At first, I thought the best thing to do was divert you with, you know, back in the old days stories, the kind where we had to put up with so much more than you had to put up with. The house mothers, for instance, checked our rooms each week, graded us on tidiness, and posted the results in the lobby for all to see. I always suspected that this was to alert prospective husbands to our housekeeping abilities. When we signed in at night, these same women also checked our breasts for alcohol and tobacco. Now, at the time, what I did not take into consideration was the effect on the poor house mothers. Forget the alcohol. Think of the garlic and onions. But I do want to do more than divert you. I'd like to share with you the legacy TCU left me, because there was a lot more going on back then than rules. From the very beginning here, I was like a kid in a toy shop of ideas. I learned to analyze and to question, and finally I learned to think for myself. It's not that before I came, I didn't think I thought for myself. Except questioning your family isn't exactly the same as questioning your own beliefs and motives, questioning the conventional wisdom around you, and questioning the values in the larger world. That's what I started doing at TCU and never stopped. I hope that's what you started doing too, and you never stop. Questioning is simply the gift of life. Curiosity is at the center of the life force. It's what makes for growth, for conversation, for love, for imagination, and for satisfaction. To refuse to question, to refuse to go farther in our thinking, to refuse to entertain uncertainty is to cut ourselves off from the exciting part of life. The great American writer Henry David Thoreau said, "Most lead lives of quiet desperation." I believe that if we cultivate our sense of curiosity, we don't have to do that. We don't have to lose that spark of wonder. And that wonder, that curiosity, can take many different forms. There's this charming story about E.O. Wilson, one of the world's leading naturalists. Once Wilson was on a stopover in Brazil on his way to the rainforest. When it came time for breakfast, a traveling companion of his couldn't find the great man. Now, Wilson is extraordinarily tall and not easily lost in any group, but he was nowhere to be found until his companion noticed a crowd gathered in the center of the city square. Sure enough, the object of their curiosity crouched on his hands and knees, cheek to the already hot pavement, was Dr. Wilson, studying with rapt absorption everyday garden variety ants, A-N-T-S. After all those years of research and books and papers, He had not lost his curiosity for the ordinary, the familiar. The flip side of this is the unusual moment. For this reason, we attend live events, ball games, concerts, plays, graduations. We are curious enough to want to be part of that one special moment. This kind of curiosity, I think, leads us also into the engagement with the world. Some of us may seek to make life a little better or more bearable for others. And then some of us will just reach out with single acts of kindness. It all counts. Obviously, allowing your curiosity reign is not all fun and games. Questioning means opening ourselves to uncertainty. Curiosity may expose us to the new, which makes us vulnerable. We become uneasy with questions. What is required of me to live in the 21st century? How much do I personally need to conform? What is the other side saying about my pet issue? And why? Are my own biases getting in the way of an honest assessment? Even to ask this stuff requires us to read, to watch, to reach out, and to listen. Frankly, sometimes I don't really want to ask those questions myself. The thought process makes me anxious and fearful, not quite in control. It means getting out of my comfort zone. Who really wants the uncertainty of knowing that you don't know it all? Who doesn't like feeling smug and righteous? I admit, I sort of envy those people who are confident in their opinions, always so sure their way is the only way. Sometimes I would love to go back pre-TCU to seeing the world in blacks and whites. But I can't afford to stop questioning any more than you can. That is when we start shriveling. That is when we stagnate. And we are in danger. The more highly educated we are, the more opinionated we are. A bunch of know-it-alls if we are not careful. By questioning, however, I don't mean just on an intellectual and an emotional level. I also mean questioning or remaining curious as a form of doing, of trying. My own early role model goes back again to my mother, the third of six sisters and one brother. Their father was a tyrant. The girls weren't allowed to further their educations after high school, or go to work, or date, or marry. His rule held until my mother came along. On her graduation from high school, this would have been in the 1920s, she got herself a job keeping books at the Ford dealership in McKinney, Texas, where her father bought a new car every year. Of course, as soon as he heard, he promptly demanded she quit or that Ford fire her, or he would threaten never to buy a new car there again. Neither gave in, and my mother went on to put her younger sister through business school in Dallas. Growing up, I didn't understand how her own questioning of the system influenced me. She questioned the place of women in our society long before the feminist movement of the 60s came along. I was 7 when my father died, and she went back to work to support the two of us. She had no problem with this. She loved work. One of the themes of my childhood, though, was the unfairness of unequal pay for equal work. For that matter, she had a low tolerance for injustice of any kind, involving women or men. Now, a leap from my mother in McKinney, Texas, to the Swiss sculptor Giacometti. His quest led him to create breathtaking work. There's a quote about his art that I wish I could hand out to each one of you as a bumper sticker to put on your mirrors. It goes like this: I see something, find it marvelous and want to try and do it. Whether it fails or whether it comes off becomes secondary. Note, whether it fails or whether it comes off becomes secondary. That's a lovely way to talk about life as a dynamic process, not a series of goals we set for ourselves. If only I can get through this, I'll be happy. When I achieve that, my world will change. If only I'd gotten a better grade or gotten that promotion. You know the plot line as well as I do. In fact, studies show we adjust upwards or downwards pretty quickly and then go right back to feeling much the same way we did before anything happened. Which brings me again to the scary results of curiosity when it comes to a new undertaking. Because whether we're trying a new sport, a new project, or a new situation, none of us wants to look like fools. Nobody enjoys being frightened or uncomfortable, myself included. When I write my novels, the deeper I go, and I always try to, the more I'm likely to make myself uncomfortable by stirring up the pot, grappling with conflicting desires in the human condition, and asking the hard questions about meaning. Yet this kind of anxiety is part of the process, not only of writing, but of living. Any time we venture forth, we're at risk, and we might lose. For most of us, not losing is more important than winning. We have to push ourselves to take these chances. Of course, it's not as if I've always followed my own advice. After delaying my writing career while my daughters were young, I found I'd lost much of my self-confidence. My writing always ended up last on my to-do list. Not by design, but by accident, or so I thought, until I discovered why. If I finished, I had to put myself and my work out there. I stood a great chance of being rejected, and I was, a lot. And each rejection paralyzed me. That made me feel even more a loser, a failure. And let me put in a good word for failure here. For the chances are that whatever you end up doing, someday you're going to fail. And if you don't, pity you. I'm not saying we always learn from our mistakes, maybe, maybe not. But failure helps us from becoming too arrogant and too prideful. At least it should, sometimes. Yet there is that something wondrous in the human spirit that without much encouragement or support keeps us stubbornly persisting. Sometimes we pull up our socks and begin all over again. Sometimes we take a deep breath and simply put one foot in front of the other in hopes of better days. Back to Giacometti. We can learn to make the journey itself become the essential thing. I may not always have liked my journey, but being a late bloomer, like another graduate here today, has its own rewards. I feel I'm just beginning. And on this graduation day, this second time around with you, the class of 2006, that's fun. That is really fun. You can call me doctor now. My fellow graduates, your worlds especially, are about to grow larger, freer, and probably scarier. Options you haven't yet imagined are waiting for you, as are terrible struggles. Life has a tricky way of blindsiding us, and we have a tricky way of blindsiding ourselves. But where is it written that crust must ever form over our eyes? Where is it written that if one dream or effort fails, we can't find another? Right now, most of you are graduating, looking for that something marvelous. The world, quite literally, is at your fingertips. This is good. This can make you crazy. TCU has given each of us a foundation. Let's go out now and continue building. You really are special. We need your minds, your curiosity, your questions, your life force. See you at our reunion. Thank you.